having settled all the questions having to do with the sports news of the past 20 years, I am now joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the sports news of the past 10 months. Charlie? Were you surprised at Mr. Kraft's being able to quote instantly and without even thinking about it the statistic of how many people watched as various general managers tried to figure out who the best player would be to draft?
No, because all of the people in the NFL at Mr. Kraft's level all have microchips implanted in the back of their necks, and they're all connected to a central mainframe. Except for Jerry Jones, who took the red pill and is now outside the Matrix.
Michael Sam, 249th overall pick in the NFL draft. First openly gay college football player drafted. Originally, he was projected to go perhaps in the third or fourth round. Does the fact that he went in the seventh and final round say anything about the readiness of the NFL to actually welcome a gay player, or did that have nothing to
I think it probably says a little. I think there probably were teams who didn't want to take a chance on having what they would consider to be some sort of distraction at their training camp and all this other stuff. And I'm sure there was an element of homophobia, certainly in certain quarters. But I think, in general, he slid in the draft because he slid in the draft.
This year has seen a new commissioner in the NBA. And in his first 3 months on the job, Adam Silver has talked about raising the minimum age for players. He's considered ways to radically revamp the NBA draft. He's banned Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling for life. Is it safe to say that Mr. Silver is not precisely like his predecessor as commissioner?
Well, I think he's certainly off to a fast start, and I think that the one subtext of the banning Donald Sterling is that he is essentially making up for a 30-year mistake on the part of previous commissioners, including David Stern, who have known all along what Donald Sterling was all about, let him run the franchise into the ground, among other things. And, you know, they've corrected that. The real test of Silver's power is if he can finagle the franchise away from the Sterling family. Ripping the franchise away from somebody based on this, they're going to be riding every ride at deposition land for a long time.
I knew I could get him to say that. I knew I could get him to say that. Tiger Woods hasn't won a major over the past 10 months. In fact, he hasn't won a major since 2008. Does that alone explain the decline in the popularity of golf?
It explains a great deal about the decline in the television ratings for golf. I think golf is still pretty much as popular as it ever was. I just think it's not as popular on TV as it used to be because you don't have this gigantic figure anymore.
Will there be another gigantic figure in any time
soon?
Well,
I didn't think there was going to be another Nicklaus, and it turned out to have a Tiger Woods, so I never say never. I mean, what was the great line from Red Smith's career, late in his life, when he said, someday there'll be another DiMaggio? And, of course, we respond always, there already was. His name was Willie Mays.
Yeah,
but someone will come along. Someone always comes along.
Let's talk about some of the significant developments on the sports landscape since Only a Game first aired back in July of 1993. What kind of pops to mind in that context?
Well, right off the top, women's sports and the ability of women's sports to translate into the mass media. The Women's World Cup team back in the day, hockey now.
That's 99 was the day.
That's a tremendous development compared to where we were in 1993. And it was very strange because I just wrote a column about this for Grantland today. The rise of social media and its effect on everything about sports, including the way we watch them and the way they're covered. If you look at the Los Angeles Clippers, Oklahoma City Thunder series, Kevin Durant is Mr. Unreliable, and the next day he gives an amazing speech when he wins the MVP award. He's a YouTube star, and now everyone adores him. Donald Sterling's surreptitiously recorded mumblings to his, you know, inamorata wind up on the internet within a day and become the story of the year.
Has the huge increase in salaries over the past couple of decades for pro athletes changed the way you interact with pro athletes when you have to speak with them?
Yes, because you don't get to interact with them very much anymore. I tell this story often. When I did the profile of Tiger Woods for GQ in 1997, before he won his first Masters, the woman who was our celebrity wrangler at GQ was a wonderful woman named Lisa Himpleman. And her job, because she used to work as a publicist in Hollywood, was to wrangle celebrities for the cover of GQ. She told me that dealing with Tiger Woods and his people was the hardest and most miserable experience she's ever had. And that takes in everybody in Hollywood. That's when I knew that the landscape had changed a little bit.
Charlie, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
It's been a pleasure.